The sun goes straight to the window pane behind your eyes to reveal the night before you started drinking from the stream of consciousness to feel. Has changed in 7 hours, she'll be home to remind you of the facts again. The story born out of panic and full of holes so big you can't pretend.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio, where we talk about the biggest hoax of our time, 9/11, and all the psyops and hoaxes before and after September 11th, 2001. You can call us at 518-564-0491 or Skype contact Fakeologist. We stream 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. The show normally broadcasts at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time, but we may live broadcast any evening time as guests become available. Now, here's your host, Avarado. Everybody, it is the summer solstice, I believe. I believe it's today, or it might have been yesterday, but it is June 21st, 2015. My name is Avarado. That's how I started this 9/11 adventure way back when, a few years back, under that pseudonym. I'm going to stick to it for now, although I have been found on the internet as Fakeologist. That is a word that I adopted for my research into what I do. You're listening to Fake 148, F-A-K-148. That's how I've labeled today's broadcast. It's called Solstice Review of Fakeologist. Tonight we're just going to review the website, fakeologist.com. I didn't have a scheduled guest today, but in a moment I will dial in Max Blue, who will sit in with me, ride shotgun tonight, and help me review the website. And I'll get some feedback from him on some of the posts I've been making. I've been quite quiet over the last couple weeks for an official broadcast where I actually sit down and speak into this more than a headset microphone for your listening pleasure. I've been pretty busy in my non-fakeologist life. This is the best weather of the year here on the north shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Canada, which is the media and PSYOP headquarters, I think, of Canada. And we are just as much under PSYOP control as any other first world, alleged first world country. And we pretty much subscribe to anything that the Queen and the American Empire wants. We're pretty much just an outpost now. I don't think we have anything unique about this country anymore. We used to be a peacekeeper. At least that was our persona as a country, a sort of a peacekeeping. We're as neutral as Switzerland. But now we just are a franchise of the system more than ever. We are, I would say, run by a technocrat at this point. I think most of the major countries are run by technocrats now. Stephen Harper started with, I guess it was an NGO, a think tank, called the National Citizens Coalition. And I often wondered who they were, but he would always put proposals forward about how to make Canada better. And he also sort of usurped I would call it a grassroots. It started off as a grassroots party. It's called the Reform Party. And that was in the late 80s. I actually joined the party just as a card-carrying member. And when I went to the meetings, it was mostly old men with white hair that were just tired of the new way of doing things. And they resonated with me a little bit as a conservative, a social conservative, but because it was a small, considered a fringe group, they had to merge with more mainstream groups, and at that time it was the Conservative Party, which is the right-wing, alleged right-wing party. And they didn't get much traction until Stephen Harper came in and merged the two. He essentially just made the party a centrist party that he would run out of his own office as a technocrat. A technocrat meaning that he knew how to tune up the economy, he knew the things to say to get votes, and he also silenced the entire membership because they all had a lot of right-wing radical anti-immigration, anti-left views, and every time they opened their mouths, they became a liability. So he just told everyone to be quiet, and anything that was said had to go through him. And he's been able to consolidate power in the sense that I think they've been in power for coming up to a decade, which is pretty good in Canada. And it's a pretty stable, quiet leadership in the sense that nothing really happens. And he's just adopting and using the techniques, I would say, of psychological operations to make change and write laws, just like every other country. So he's a technocrat. He's not really personable. He's got no charisma. He doesn't offend in any way. And he just uses the standard methods to create laws. And I really don't know if we had a lot of the psychological operations, media hoaxes, to make things happen in the same way we have had recently. I haven't gone through them all because the Canadian ones never make much press. They're pretty minor, pretty small, and no one's paying attention anyway. And so I can't really say before him what frequency there were. I just haven't really studied it. But if you want to know what I'm talking about with psychological operations, the whole theme of my blog, fakeologist.com, is a study of 9/11, because that was the biggest, in my opinion, military media hoax of our time, where they pulled off a fake event and portrayed it as real. They used all kinds of techniques to fool the people, and it worked. And after studying that and looking into it, I've since convinced myself of the techniques that they use, and I now apply them to everyday media events, should I say. And I've just found with all the different techniques and clues that convinced me of 9/11 that they're being applied today on a large scale and on a small scale, right down to my hometown, Toronto, right up to an international basis. And they pretty much all work the same. They're pretty pedestrian. It's not exciting anymore in the sense that before it was a great discovery to find all the clues, but now it's very pedestrian for me, and I really don't go past the headlines. I still enjoy looking at the people on the internet finding things, whether they be real or controlled opposition. I still enjoy listening to it and looking into it, but overall I don't really verify it or go too deep because I'm just satisfied with my level of understanding of them. And now all I really try and do is nudge regular people into looking at this stuff. And that's actually a much harder process. It's a much harder technique. That requires a greater skill set to show this to other people that have no understanding of fakeology and to convince them. And And actually what you find is the techniques you need to convince people of your way of thinking are the same techniques that the people that pull the PSYOP hoaxes off use to convince them of their way of thinking. And that just proves how difficult it is to make people think and act a certain way. So the very people you would like to expose, you really need their techniques to wake people up to your way of thinking, to make people check your ideas out. And you need, there's just so many things you need to do to get people's attention in this distracted day and age. People are super distracted more than ever. They get their sources of news from a million different places, but it seems to be slowly sorting itself out to comedy shows portraying themselves as news shows like the Jon Stewart show and maybe some of the others, the Colbert Report. I don't watch any of them, but I've talked to people under 30, and that's where they get a lot of their news. I know Facebook is trying to morph into a news service where they don't give preferred status to outside links anymore. They want their news sources to become native to Facebook. In other words, the New York Times is going to have to open a bureau up literally in Facebook. So Facebook will be the originating story, or originating source rather, with maybe a New York Times byline. So they're really trying to become the new news, and that will allow a huge level of control over what gets promoted and what does not into people's news feeds. It literally, since people have adopted the Facebook platform, and all it is a website for God's sakes, and that is where they're going to get their information through the Facebook filter. And I guess the only benefit for the average slave book or Facebook user, as I like to call it, is it allows them to see what their friends are doing. Apparently people are so interested in what their friends are looking at and thinking and liking that they're willing to stay on that platform for everything, for their audio, for their video, for their photo, and now for their news. So it's what I'm trying to get at is this is how the media is morphing and changing, evolving, if you will. And Facebook has certainly staked a claim for a large part of people's screen time. And that's what it's all about, screen time. Where are people going to get their information from the screen? We know they're going to get it from the screen, the computer screen, the internet. But where are they going to get it from? What website? And I guarantee a fakeologist will be demoted in the sense that it probably won't even make it through the Facebook filters. So if people are on Facebook and YouTube, then the infinite number of other websites like Fakeologist are just not going to get promoted. And of course, all you have to do to get to my website is type in the word Fakeologist. I made it short and sweet, but that is apparently too difficult for the people that live on Facebook and YouTube. So it's really interesting how things are slowly evolving. And of course, anyone can make a website anywhere. It's just a question of being found. That is the hardest part. And if Facebook isn't promoting it or YouTube's not promoting it in their suggestion side, then people just won't get to it. So it's pretty interesting how things are changing. But Fakeologist is the website that I've created, and I've tried to create a number of hashtags on Twitter. I use Twitter as well. I do a lot of the Fakeologist website is the posts go to Twitter for anyone who's out there. I still sort of like Twitter because I noticed some of the old journalists are just using Twitter now. They don't even have a column. So they're just posting their one sentence opinions on different stories, which is kind of interesting to some extent. And that is where they live. They don't have a website. They don't have YouTube. They are not on Facebook, but they're on Twitter. That's again, that's actually another platform I totally forgot about just in my my description a few minutes ago yet. So Twitter's another place, actually, that I actually look into. There's really not a lot there, but a lot of people use Twitter for their news feed as well. And I'm talking about the new generation. I'm talking about anyone under 30, possibly under 40. Because the whole purpose of culture creation and media, it's really aimed at the people that are going to be around for the next 40 or 50 years. So that would be anyone under 30. And those are the people that that are targeted for new ideas and new concepts to move society along and to also change it. It's not really meant for people over 50 or even 60. Those people are nicely kept in their stupor with Fox News and CNN. All those people are fully subscribed to those two medias. And then they get their local newspaper, national newspaper, that is also saying the same thing. So that's where they live. We can't get to those people. You'll never be able to flip over anyone over 50 or 60 to a fakeologist way of looking things. It just won't happen. It's well established that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. It's so rare. So we have to just leave those people alone because they're not going to look at this. And I've had contact with people of that generation, and they don't even have a clue where I'm coming from. No clue at all. Now, I'm in my 40s, so I'm sort of available for a little bit of influence, I would say. I'm still open-minded, but I'm mostly set. So for me to flip 3 years ago, it only happened to me mainly because I was just fully subscribed to the media, fully subscribed to the political system. And it was, I suppose, it was almost like chance in the sense that because I love the media, I love computers, and I was just looking for something else to do and listen to, and it was on the old technology, but I'm always trying to find something new to do computer-wise, audio-wise, video-wise that I, by chance, just stumbled upon, and I made a connection. And if you want to look at my pathway to fakeologist.com, you just go to the website, fakeologist.com, and go to the top. Go to the top. I'm going to do that now. Hopefully it's not too busy. Go to the top, and there's a bunch of click-ons at the very top. And if you look at, let's see, go to About and rabbit trails. That will give you the pathway I took to creating my website. It gives you a little history about how I went about coming to the position I'm at. And it only took me a few months. I've really been saying the same thing for the last 3 years. I have hardly diverged at all. I really have not moved much in the way of position. Really, I have not. And you'll just take a look that I started with Howard Stern. I still listen to Howard Stern. Someone is kind enough to provide a show on the torrent system. By the way, that is still the number one way to distribute movies and audio is torrents. And the internet, the old media companies are just trying their best to disrupt the torrent system. And I'm kind of ambiguous about torrents and about paying for things. As far as movies go, most of the movies that I watch, I would never go to the movie theater anyway. And so it's almost like I justify downloading a movie and getting it through the torrent system because I probably wouldn't see it anyway. So they wouldn't get the money anyhow if I was going to go pay for it. And now that it's so easily available, it's literally like listening to the radio. We never had to pay for songs that we recorded off the radio ever. So again, that wasn't money they've lost. And now we have this seamless, this frictionless distribution system for movies. And all we're not costing the company anything by grabbing it and looking at it, even if we don't even look at the whole thing. So that's sort of how I look at movies or torrents, rather. So my rabbit trail started with Howard Stern, who I download his torrent every the next day or the day after. He only does three shows a week. And And now I'm fully aware of Howard Stern's role in audio, and he is constantly showing his dinosaur, if you want to, or I don't believe in dinosaurs. He's showing his old way of looking at things. He's firmly against podcasts. He thinks that it's a hobby and a silly way of distributing audio. He still thinks radio is where it's at. And I'm certainly aware of his role in the media on radio, and I listen to him mainly because he is probably the number one audio listened to for people my age group, I would say. So he's still very influential that way. I listen to him, but I realize that when he comments on the news, he's fully subscribed to all the fake stories of the day, and I almost think he's got his talking points that he has to hit every show. So it almost seems like he goes out of his way to incorporate some of the fake history, the fake psyops that we all have moved on from on fakeologist.com. And I'm talking about JFK, I'm talking about the Holocaust, Nazis, I'm talking about Israel, I'm talking about the Palestinian conflict, I'm talking about all the fake terror flights, I'm talking about 9/11, of course, that he was the lead radio faker out of New York that day. He knew probably damn well exactly what was going on immediately. So he did his role for the audio department, the radio department back then. He's definitely fully subscribed. But I have to give him credit because he's the one that flipped me onto Jesse Ventura, who I always liked talk because Jesse was the only one who was talking about 9/11 in the mainstream at the time I was listening. So then I used the computer technology that I've been talking about to see if anyone else interviewed Jesse Ventura. And that led to Alex Jones, who interviewed Jesse Ventura. And that's when I got tuned into Alex Jones. And then I joined Alex Jones' website, even though he was fairly harsh to listen to. And then I found his video archive section. And that's where I found all the 9/11 videos like Plain Sight, Loose Change. And that led on to my research into all the different videos from Great American Psyopera to September Clues. And from there, I really got a good picture of what 9/11 was really about. And I also, from Jesse Ventura interviews, I found Jim Fetzer, and he seemed to be the only guy talking about 9/11 in the audio department, and that was really what I was seeking since I'm on the road a lot away from the home office. So Jim Fetzer was talking about 9/11 all the time, and he was also talking about JFK, which I was also curious about from the past because that was another great mystery that I thought was never solved. And it was always in the back of my mind thinking, how is it possible that this mystery could not have been solved with all the great minds and thinkers? How is it possible that this crime could be so uninvestigated, so unsolved? It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent. It's incongruent. It makes no sense. So that was one that just bothered me because it just, and then that reignited my thoughts of 9/11. How could something so in your face, wide open, in the media, so widespread, so widely known, how couldn't it be solved? That doesn't make sense. It's incongruent. It's impossible. How could a big thing like this have snuck through and gone to this day unsolved? And that's what everyone should ask. How is it possible? It doesn't make sense at all. Just from that point of view, you should want to look into why it's not solved. Because if the United States has so many police agencies, you would think that somebody, one of the millions of people that work in the crime or police agencies, intelligence, would have had a clue and come forward and help figure this out. But no, nobody. It's incredible. It's ridiculous. And everyone should have come to the same conclusion I did, that there's a problem here. And so what is the problem? And again, that's where we are lucky enough to have the internet, because at least there's some freshness, there's some possibility that disparate voices that don't have publishers, don't have radio stations, don't have TV stations, there's a chance that somebody out there might squeak through a theory. And of course, that led to quite a period of time where I looked into it, found the different forums, like Let's Roll forums. That's where I went first. And then I found the theory. We were going through theory after theory to try and explain 9/11. And then I came to the Empty Towers theory, which I see is crossed out here on my rabbit trails, which indicates the link is no good. And let's see why. Okay. I guess Let's Roll forums reorganized or deleted it. It must be there somewhere. But anyway, so that led to the Empty Towers theory, which I thought was ridiculous. How could that be? How could anyone not notice the office tower is empty, 101 floors? But at the time, I realized that I have to keep my mind wide open if I want to try and figure out what happened. So it only took a couple of days where I was able to just turn myself around, and then I found a radio station, radio broadcast rather, with the creators of Let's Roll Forums talking about it with Fetzer again. And once I heard people talking about it, it actually made more sense. And sometimes when you're looking at a forum, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you hear people talking, going back and forth, they're able to add another dimension to their point of view. And I actually enjoy it. Actually aided in my comprehension, not my understanding. I'm trying not to use the word understanding anymore, because it has some corporation nation implications when you stand under somebody. And that reminds me of a new YouTube video that Del Qua posted just recently, where he was showing how he's sending back all his letters to the under the corporation nation paradigm. So that's just a hat tip to Del Qua, who does contribute to this site many times. Go to his website, View from the Bog. Just Google that, A View from the Bog. Or go to my website and click on the top under feeds, and you'll see Del Qua's feed, his audio feed. And it'll bring it to eventually his YouTube channel. Just type in Del Qua. But so I was listening to these audios on this website that we're hosted on something called Talk Show, which is a have your own radio talk show. And I thought, well, from a software point of view, that's pretty neat. Would I be able to do that? And since I'm researching 9/11 and I'm trying to find other people doing what I'm doing, maybe I'll just create my own audio radio station and start talking and see if anyone joins in. And it didn't take more than a few hours before people somehow discovered it and started listening. And then, of course, I met quite a few interesting people, to say the least. And most of them are still around to this day. And I gained some understanding about the complexity of the 9/11 deception. How more than just a problem, a pedestrian problem, it was. This was big, in the sense that this is not just some random accident, happenstance, run-of-the-mill, a little operation. This is much bigger than anything I'd ever heard of. And that really brought me to try and figure out, okay, how did this go down? What are we into here? And I've always liked spy novels. I didn't read too many of them, but I always liked the mystery and the CIA, but not that I really am a big reader in that sense. But I'd never heard of PSYOPs, psychological operations. That I've never... Canada's not a military country by any means, so I certainly wasn't in the military and didn't know. I don't know anyone in the military, so to know that there's a whole division of the military that's called psychological operations, or I think they're renamed MISO now, which is a terrible name because I can never remember what that stands for. That's an acronym, MISO. I think military intelligence special operations, something like that. Now I gotta type it in because it's bothering me. Type it into psychological operations. Yeah, military information support operations. And then it was renamed back to PSYOP, and then it came back to MISO again. But I prefer psychological operations. And looks like the biggest MISO or PSYOPs area is in the U.S. Army, and that's in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And lo and behold, they even have their own Facebook page. Yay! You want to go join up? Just go to the Facebook page. And, the page even opens and closes now on Facebook in the sense that if you want to talk to someone, it looks like, or communicate with somebody, Facebook says they're open tomorrow between 9 and 5, which almost sounds like the page comes alive during business hours. Interesting. Maybe someone's sitting on the other side. So there you go. More on how Facebook is just trying to become the internet. Never mind just be a website. They're trying to become the internet. So when young people, I guess, go to the internet, they'll just crack open their Facebook webpage or their Facebook app on their dumb device or smartphone or tablet and live in Facebook. And you can go to stores, I guess, on Facebook or government web pages. What is MISO's Latin? Oh, I see. They have a little neat little logo, and their English Latin 3-word motto is persuade, change, influence. That's interesting. Wow. I guess I'll have to put a link to that in today's notes. And by the way, if you're listening to this, if you're not listening to this live, like the majority of people, you're listening to this later, you can look up the show notes quite easily under FAK, which is short for fake. FAK 148, Solstice Review of Fakeologist. And you will see a link to some of the notes. I'm not that great at keeping notes that I'm talking as I'm talking. It's a little too much for me. But you can go there and take a peek. Oh, look, I even put the little logo there for MISO, PSYOPs Division of the United States Army of Fort Bragg. I'm going to update that right now. If you are listening live, there's a few people listening live tonight at s1.fakeologist.com. If you ever want to listen live, I do send out an email the morning, usually, or a few hours, or sometimes just a few minutes before the show starts. The only way to get the email is to sign up to the website at fakeologist.com. Just go to the right side on the top and click register, and you will get an email. So if you are listening live, you can go to chat.fakeologist.com and interact with the other live listeners. That chat is always open, and I do find many different links there. Thank you for that. The best way to reach me is at contact.fakeologist.com if you want to send me a link. And once we do a handshake after that, you'll have my email address, and you can email me directly any links as well. That's another method. I check my email more than anything else, more than chat, more than any other interaction, more than Skype. I don't stay logged into Skype because it does use system resources. So if you're going to go to Skype and send me something, you might not get a response quickly. Another place that I do check on is audiochat.fakeologist.com. It's been very quiet lately. People are not using it because I guess people come and go in waves. And that what that is a audio chat version of chat.fakeologist.com where anyone who has the authority can go and speak on my live channel 3, Fakeologist Radio 3. Yes, I do have three streaming radio stations. I don't even want to use the word radio stations anymore because radio is an old acronym that's almost meaningless, again, to people under 30. They don't even listen to the radio. Ask anyone under 30, what's your favorite radio station? They won't have one. They don't listen to the radio. It's dead to them. So I have three streams. I have three live streams that go every day, S1 or S2 or S3.fakeologist.com. So if you have a new car, I guarantee most of them have internet now of some description, or you can tether it to your phone. So you can go to those three websites, S1, S2, S3.fakeologist.com, and you can find a link that you can plug into your internet audio streaming player. And you can set it like a radio station. Now, S1 is just replaying my old past shows, and I think I put a few K-hams there. S2 might be more interesting to you, because on that, K-ham Live, K-ham Radio, which is another pod child that we've hosted here at fakeologist.com. K-ham has been very regular, and she has her own website here at fakeologist.com/KHAM, and you can find her archive. She streams at s2.fakeologist.com live, usually Thursday nights at 7:11 p.m. or 1911 p.m. Eastern Standard or Daylight Time. We're in Daylight Time now, summer solstice and all. And on S2, when she's not streaming live, I put all the shows that I really, really enjoy, all the audios. So they're constantly playing different audios from different broadcasters that I find interesting, that I think are really relevant to the fakeologist way of thinking. And just recently, I put up a few more Max Rat audios. He had a really great 9/11 show. I thought I had listened to it, but I just posted it on fakeologist.com. I hadn't actually listened to it, I found out. So that's a four-hour clip fest extravaganza. And Max has been on the Fakeologist website. He's been on. And he's left a lot of comments because he knows. And I've asked him to come on the show. He won't come on the show. I can't remember. He just doesn't agree, or he thinks I'm out to lunch on many things and missed the boat, which is fine. And he claims he has first-hand knowledge of people that died on 9/11, and he was challenged on the latest K-Ham show. If you haven't heard that one, four-hour show with Hoy Polloi, go find it, and at fakeologist.com, go listen to that one, because not Max isn't on there, but David Weiss, another person who said he knew someone on 9/11, was on that show, and it really, really shows, and we've challenged Max, and Hoy has challenged Rat, Max Rat, on fakeologist.com comment section on the people that he say died on 9/11. And I'm sorry to say that Max wasn't convincing at all to me that his story is real. Now, just because Max is promoting this doesn't mean I don't listen to him, because he does a great job of showing scripting in audio, in the news. And what is scripting? Scripting is when they have a script, like a movie script. The different, so-called different media outlets that are supposed to be in competition, they literally are saying many, many of the same words in a row, sentences, same concepts. Most of the time, it's literally the same sentences over and over again. And they're all using the same lines. They're actually fed the same lines. And you would never notice it if you're a CBS person or an NBC person or an ABC person, because you probably don't flip around. you like your favorite radio or newscaster, you wouldn't notice. But Max has pulled clips from all these sources and lines them up and plays them back to back, and you can only conclude that someone is writing all this news from some central location, and in my guesstimation, it's got to be the military, PSYOPs, or CIA, or some intelligence agency that's creating the news, and the news organizations are portraying it as real. That's all you can conclude. And Max does a great job of lining up these clips, and he also intersperses the clips with some fairly funny clips, some comedy, some cartoon comedy, like The Simpsons or Family Guy. And it really, in his own way, really makes you question the media. And all he's doing is throwing their clips at you, and it allows your mind to paint a picture that is not what most people would conclude as to competitive media. And he does a great job of it. So I've posted many of his shows. The Moon Hoax show was pretty good. The MH370 show, I think I listened to that again. I just finished listening to it. I don't remember listening to it, which means either I wasn't paying attention the first time, or I heard a million different concepts that I must have just passed over and not thought too much of. And I actually try and make notes, because he has a lot of great clips that I try and look up. I don't know if he links to a lot of the clips he plays on his website, maxrat.com, but I do seek them out myself, and I actually posted a couple of them, and I usually hat tip him. So if I do so, you will see at the bottom of my post a little hat tip. But I put a lot of Max Rat stuff up. Max Rat on MH370. He had a lot of really great concepts there. Another big show. And he's got a few other shows that I posted on s2.fakeologist.com. And that is where you can find live streaming if you're not going to download them, which I know people don't always download stuff. And you'll hear that on a continuous basis. Another 24/7 audio streaming site. You can also download all this stuff, and I have different RSS feeds. And again, go to fakeologist.com/feeds, and you will see a recommended audio feed. And if you plug that recommended audio feed into your podcatcher or iTunes or however Apple captures audio feeds, it will pull all the shows that I like and post on fakeologist.com under recommended audio, and you won't have to go find it yourself. It'll come in automatically to your podcatcher. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use technology and marrying it with my interest in fakeology so people can get this information in an automated way so they don't have to work too hard to listen and to understand that I am exposing media fakery one PSYOP at a time. That's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to use technology to the best of my ability so you can understand my point of view, because it's not easy. I know coming to my website, it's not an easy thing to figure out. And if I ever get around to rearranging it so you can just you can start from zero and get to where I am by taking a pathway, then that would probably be a good thing. But at the moment, you're just going to have to kind of explore it and click on your own. And if you recommend the website, you're going to have to give people an idea what it's about, how it's really a blog, or it's a reverse chronological situation where I'm putting the latest stuff up first. You can point them to my audios, and they're under radioarchives.fakeologist.com. Or if you go to the top, you can click on the word radio, And that will bring you to my main audio page. I think I'm going to rename it eventually to audio. And that gives you different links to my archives, to the RSS feed, to I also have torrent versions of all my past broadcasts. I've uploaded them. You can also get them via a program called Sync by BitTorrent. Got everything there listed. I'm not sure how many people are able to navigate and figure that out. All right, we're going to take a quick watering break. I'll play a little song by Mr. Simon Shack called Round in Circles. When I come back, I am going to bring on a gentleman named Max Blue. He's been on the show before. And we'll talk a little bit with him about whatever he wants to talk about. And maybe go through a few blog posts. I didn't expect to talk for 3/4 of an hour just riffing on just things that come to mind. Totally random, by the way. Not scripted. Which may or may not be a good thing. And when I come back, we'll talk with him. So just stay tuned.
This fake, oh so fake, imagery on TV. They pull us around, round and round, round in circles, round and round, round. Thank you.
You're in the middle of Fakeologist Radio. You can call in at 518-564-0491 or connect with us at Fakeologist on Skype. Join our chat at chat.fakeologist.com. To leave a comment on the show, go to the episode page and leave your reply or link. The show airs live most Saturday nights around 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply call in and tell us your story. Now, on with the show. Listening to FAK, Fakeologist Radio 145. No, 148. Are we okay? Fakeologist episode 148, Solstice Review of Fakeologist. It is June 21st, 2015. It is also 20 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And I just finished riffing a little bit about fakeologist.com, letting people know what it's all about, where it came from. And just thought I'd sit in front of the mic tonight. I've been not so computer, not so audio inclined lately. Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up. Let me be a good disc jockey. That was Round in Circles, the third track off Simon Shack's new album. And I'm just on his September Clues, the soundtrack page, and I was looking for his new album, and I can't find it. So now I'm going to try and see if I can find it on my site, because I can't remember where I linked to it. I apologize, Simon. And I can't find it there either. So I can't give you a link to Simon's new soundtrack right this second. So you'll have to do a search for it on his site or my site. But he has a new album that he's looking for people to support. Since people don't tend to pay for music anymore, it's more of a donation. If you want to see him continue his research at cluesforum.info, which is the main website run by Simon Hoipoloi and maybe a couple other sub-moderators to give you a great insight into media fakery that was used on 9/11 and in all the major psyops of this day. It is one of the few websites I go to on a daily basis. And lately, they'll talk about just about anything for the most part. They have a great section on NASA and the space hoax, which is probably the biggest and most, I would say, most evolving hoax of our time. They have a pretty big budget, allegedly. It's impossible to know how much is really being spent. But they are in your face every single day, talking about what they don't do, what they'd like to do. It's all, to me, it's all fantasy, and it leaves the whole idea of what's up and out there wide open. And yeah, thanks, Dell. The link is the Social Service One band.bandcamp.com. So if you want to find Simon's album, it's at the social service, the number one, .bandcamp.com. That's where it is. Del Quaz listening live tonight on s1.fakeologist.com. And thank you for that. I don't know why I can't. I know it's on my website somewhere. I just can't remember where I linked it at the time. I do have September Clues, the soundtrack, linked. And that is at the top of my website, fakeologist.com. Hover over September Clues tour guide, which will give you an indication of what that movie's all about. And then underneath that is a link called September Clues, the soundtrack. And I didn't see the link to the new album there, but Dell just gave it to us, and we'll put it in the show notes for tonight. Let me see if... I still have a call going on here. Let me see if I've got Max Blue still on the line. Max, are you there? 2212. I think I put Max... There he is, Max.
Hello?
Hey, Max. Hello. Hey, how are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. Hello to you and everybody listening.
Yeah, hello to you. You were on a previous episode. Do you know the episode number?
138.
You were on 138? Okay, good. Very good. Matt, if you want to hear more from Max and who he is, go to 138. That was 10 episodes ago, not too long ago.
Yes. Happy Father's Day to everybody, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And to you, if you are one. If you're not, then...
I am.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations. And it's wonderful being a father. And taking the role seriously. And that's actually what I've been kind of busy doing now that the weather's nice. Just trying to act like a father and less as a fakeologist.
Ah.
Were you listening in on the first hour? I was worried I put you to sleep. I said it would be about 20 minutes, and then it turned into a little longer than that. I apologize.
Yeah. It's all right. You sound good. Sound good. That's okay. I was sitting here listening.
Good, good. Well, we should all practice active literacy, which is the art of talking. Most people have lost the art. I never really had it, but I like to try and practice it because it's... If we have anything, if we should be doing anything, it's spreading the word of fakeology. It would be to, you have to know how to talk to people in a convincing way.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. But most people still got to be open to even hearing a word about it. And it doesn't seem like everybody has been convinced that it's kooky to think different. Seems.
Well, yeah, they get the idea that they shouldn't talk about it from the media that we're trying to expose. So the idea that you question things, people are conditioned not to, because that's actually what they're told. They're told not to. So we can't really blame them for thinking the way they do, because we know all the thoughts are really put in people's minds by the media, including that one.
Yeah.
So it makes it an uphill battle.
Definitely, definitely. And it's not really getting any better. People that I talk to, a lot of people have lost total interest because it happened so long ago now, and they're moved on to other things and don't want to hear what happened back then. It would seem a lot of the people today were too young, too, you know. That was 14 years ago, right? 13, 14 years ago, and the people 13, 14 years ago, a lot of them were too young and teenagers back then now, you know. So
it was a long time ago, and
people wake up too quick.
I'd like to review my website, fakeologist.com. The first post, of course, is the featured post. That's tonight's broadcast. You can click on that if you want to look at some show notes. If when you're looking at my website, more clues on how to navigate my website. If you don't see, usually I cut a post short and there's a more button. So if you want to read the rest of the post, you have to click on the more button. So if anyone thinks that they're missing something from the post, just click on more and you'll get the whole post with all the links and all the comments. Okay, the first post I wanted to play for you and Max is from another Max, Max Ratt's MH370 deconstruction. Have you listened to any Max Ratt, by the way, Max?
Well, you know, I listened to, it's so unreasonably long, but yeah, I've listened to his moon hoax thing and, excuse me, I think the 9/11 one too, but they're just unreasonably long.
Yeah, okay, you might not have as much time as I do to listen to stuff. One of the, well, he plays a lot of clips. One of them's from the Family Guy that I thought was really amusing from the MH370 broadcast. And it was all about manufacturing news. And this is actually a video clip, but you're just going to hear the audio because I can't broadcast video. And I thought you might want to listen to this because it's kind of funny. It's and I'll explain what it's all about once you listen to it. So have a listen if you haven't heard.
Our top story. There was drama in the skies of Quahog today as a transnational 767 was forced to make a crash landing.
That's right, Diane. As if the world weren't already scary enough, it seems you can't even get on a plane safely these days. Channel 5 has the spectacular footage. Fortunately, no one was injured. However, using state-of-the-art Channel 5 computer technology, we'll show you how disastrous it could have been. Here's how it would have looked if the plane had crashed into a school. Ah! Now here's how it would have looked if the plane had crashed into a school for bunnies. Now here's how it would have looked if the plane had crashed into a school for bunnies, but one passenger had survived, gone home, and mercilessly beat his wife.
I'm alive! But boy, am I angry! Someone's gonna have to pay for this!
Why? Why? Is this because I overcooked the roast?
Powerful stuff. You'd have to be made of stone not to feel saddened by that.
There you go. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, that's cute.
So my analysis of that is, and I shouldn't have said so, gotta stop that, is this is an example of using comedy in cartoons to make you subconsciously dismiss the concept that news programming is completely fictitious, not to mention ridiculous, most of the time. So that's a very tricky concept for people to fathom, but I think that is what that's all about, that clip. What do you think of that?
I didn't put that together from it. No, I just kind of looked at it as humor. I didn't look into it that deep from what I heard, you know. I kind of see your point, you know, now you bring it up, though.
And that's really because people are always pointing to these, or some people point to these cartoons, comedic cartoons like The Simpsons and The Family Guy, to saying, oh, they predicted 9/11, or they had all kinds of little symbols and signs of psyops to come. How could they have known? Isn't that what a coincidence? But of course the people that create these things are all getting their talking points, their ideas, their memes, their themes from some kind of central intelligence operation where they want to put these ideas out into the ether, out into the media, for people to consume and subsume, I guess, or put in their subconscious. So when things happen, they don't make the connections directly, but they are more, let's put it this way, they're more susceptible to accepting ideas because it's already there in their brain. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that in a good way?
Sure. I suppose it does. I remember, I don't know, this might have something to do with what you're saying, I suppose. Your spook book, Facebook, I once in a while you get into little conversations, you know, and I still have a little bit of contact with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Okay,
and,
yeah, the boys.
You know, and a couple other people once in a while, and just very recently, about a week and a half ago, I got in one conversation. There was this lady saying how she was there and watching the people jump out of the buildings and doing all this stuff, and she ticked me off, so I kind of got in a little bit of argument with her and just said that she is a total liar. And I went ahead and went on the same rendition that, you know, I'm saying I've heard you say a lot of times, along with Hoi Polloi and Simon, and I said that no one died on 9/11, and no, you weren't there. It was all cordoned off and sectioned off, and nobody was even close, just like any other controlled demolition. And the lady said that she was going to tell intel on me, whatever the heck that statement meant, but that came out of the blue. I don't know if that, whatever intel is, maybe there is something called intel out there, you know, that she was hooked up with, or she was just making it up. I don't know, but I just found it clever for her to come out and get pissed.
Or maybe she was a representative of intel in some way, somehow, some way.
That's what I keep wondering, too, but she canceled what she was stating and never heard from her again.
Well, people have to understand, and this is in the media as well, so take it with a grain of salt, but a lot of the commenters, a lot of the profiles online, I don't know what percentage, maybe half, maybe three quarters, they are all working in sweatshops, in intelligence, to create ideas and memes and themes and shape conversations on the internet. In the old days, they wrote letters to the editor under pseudonyms, but they were in the intelligence agencies busy creating culture, busy creating ideas, busy shaping the herd. Now, every now and then, we hear of a Russian or a North Korean or a Chinese sweatshop where they're busy typing in likes and creating Twitter accounts and trying to create Twitter waves or Facebook virals or YouTube viral videos. We hear about that. We never hear that. Well, it's no doubt being done by Canada, United States military as well. So you might have been talking to someone in the military, a subcontractor, any number of people that are trying to influence a conversation is what my point is.
Yes, I think that's a possibility, unless sure. It's just, you know, you never know. Some people are just, you know, saying flippant and come up with stuff out of the blue you never think they would come up with.
Well, they're not coming from it out of the blue, though, necessarily. For instance, they may have been conversing with somebody in the military that created this friendship, or this is an ongoing operation. The point is, though, that if she's not directly involved, she's definitely been directly influenced by the people that are busy in comment sections and even live actors that are out in the field acting a role. They go out there and they pretend to be victims or pretend to be family members, and at the end of the day, they just go home and be themselves.
And it seems like some people aren't even on the job. They just like to sound important.
Well, yeah, they could be yeah. convinced that they're part of it. Maybe someone convinced them to be part of it for free.
I was just going to say, I never met anybody from New York who didn't say that they knew somebody who died in the buildings yet. I haven't. They don't have their own special story about the day, it seems like, you know, whether it's they were watching people jump out of the building, then, you know what I'm saying, went inside the building that they were walking into and watched it out the window and watched them collapse and all this other stuff. They just like to feel that, you know, they personalize it.
Exactly. Okay, the next post I'd like to discuss is called Crazy to Crazy on the Moon Hoax. Recently, and this is how I work, I'll get on a theme, and in this case, I'm still listening to Mark Sargent, who is the Flat Earth Clues guy. And right now, I'm most interested in listening to him because he's going on just about every conspiracy-type radio show, whether it be at mainstream or internet, mainstream media or, sorry, radio, old-fashioned radio or internet. And he's introducing me to all kinds of different talk show hosts that I've never heard of before and probably never would stumble upon. But he made it on the Coast to Coast, which is, of course, a mainstream conspiracy show. And I used to listen to it on my AM dial a long time ago when Art Bell was doing it. And now the new guy I wasn't so interested in. And, of course, I don't listen to radio either. But that person, so Mark was on Coast to Coast with George Noory. And that he posted the link to another guy on YouTube that posts the Coast to Coast shows, which are normally, if you want to get them online, you got to pay for them. But this guy's putting them on YouTube. So now I subscribe to him, who's putting all the Coast to Coast shows online. And they had a thing on the moon landing conspiracy, which is that idea, that theme, that meme has been going on and managed actively, like all other PSYOP hoaxes that are very large, since the day it came out in the 60s. What is it, 69, which is the official, right around July something, was the official first landing of the moon.
And then right up to 72, they pretty much cut them out, or no?
Yeah, but they're still talking about it in 2015, today. So it's still going on to this day. No letting up. So yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So I made a post on, I call Crazy to Crazy, as a takeoff of Coast to Coast on the Moon Hoax. The latest thing on the moon hoax that you can find, and if you want to find different concepts in the media on the web, you can customize news on Google News at news.google.whatevercountryyou're in.ca. In my case, you can do a search. You can personalize the news. So if you ever want to see any reference to moon hoax, just type it in and personalize it. So I do that. So on the top of the moon hoax search from Google News, you will find a story coming out of Russia, allegedly, our enemy, our fake enemy.
Right.
And they're talking about how they want an investigation into, well, the headline says into the moon hoax. But that isn't actually the story. But because the headline writers are different from the article writers and they want to promote it and provoke, they put moon hoax. But it's really, Russia wants an investigation into why the Apollo 11 audio or videotape was erased and missing. Because they say it's part of our culture and we should find it. So Russia... Russia brought the point up because of the so-called scandals under FIFA, which is another probably fake story to promote FIFA and gambling and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So this story became a story on Coast to Coast. Now, their resident moon hoaxologist, his name is Richard C. Hoagland, who I've renamed Hoaxland, and I'm not the first person to do that.
Listen to many, many hours of him.
Right. And I listened to him as the so-called anti-NASA or the NASA exposer for a long time myself. I didn't know much about hoaxes or psyops back in the day when I used to listen to him. But he was on here, and now I'm listening to him in a totally different light with my fakeologist glasses on, because now, of course, I don't believe one word of anything going on up there on the moon. As a matter of fact, you were talking earlier with me about Crow 777, who has this idea that the moon isn't even a planet or even a big rock in the sky. It might be some projection with some kind of scan. His recording equipment is picking up some kind of scanning lines, like on a TV, or so it's a refresh rate. So maybe there's some kind of technology that projects it in the sky. To me, it sounds a lot like hocus pocus, but it doesn't sound any more wacky than what Richard C. Hoaxland is talking about with regards to the moon.
Well, one thing I do appreciate about Crow, you know, if you listen to him talk, and he's very careful with what he says, and he says do your own research. I kind of appreciate when people say that, and he gets the best footage that he knows how to get. He's out here in San Diego, and
you're in San Diego too, yeah.
He I'm in Torrance, not far, but okay. He seems to be on the up and up and doing the best that a single person can really do to bring out what he believes is true. So even if every sentence he states can't be verified, you know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think he's doing a damn good job at best with what he has. You know, he seems a pretty intelligent guy.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Anyway, so I made some notes on this show, and you can listen to it on my website. I just post a link to the YouTube channel. But I haven't listened to Richard C. Hoaxland in a long time, and I wanted to see what's currently being talked about today with regards to the moon. So I call him Richard C. Hoaxland, and I said that might be some kind of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, where they take a guy's name. It might be his real name, I don't know, and it might be just a coincidence that Hoagland sounds like Hoaxland, where all he's talking about is BS, hoax. But he's of the opinion that he wants an investigation outside of NASA through the White House because he thinks that NASA is busy doing all kinds of black ops missions around the moon, doing things like moon bases and all kinds of stuff, spending the missing money. And the missing money that is the biggest number I ever heard was $2.3 trillion announced on 9-10-01. There's a little typo in my post here.
Mm-hmm. On September 10th, 2001, you'll notice Donald Rumsfeld made a speech that the Pentagon had lost almost $3 trillion worth of unaccounted for expenses. Then you can see what happened on September 11th and notice that story disappeared.
I was going to say terrifying. Admit it.
There could be a large cover-up going on.
And I've mused over the fact that I've read some of these things and asked what they thought.
It was the major headlines on that morning of September 11th, where the day before Donald Rumsfeld made that speech, trillions of dollars gone.
Pentagon, the day before 9-1-1, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld declared war, not on foreign terrorists.
The adversary is closer to home. It's the Pentagon bureaucracy.
He said money wasted by the military poses a serious threat.
In fact, it could be said that it's a matter of life and death.
Rumsfeld promised change, but the next day, the world changed. And in the rush to fund the war on terrorism, the war on waste seems to have been...
All right. Well, my point of playing that was, I just corrected my post while we were playing that. Apologies for that. You're listening, by the way, to Fakeologist 148. The point of that was that just listening to Richard C. Hoaxland talk about that, I'm now of the opinion that these missing millions or trillions, I think those are fake stories as well. And the numerology kind of adds up to that as well. 2.323, that's an occult number. But I think that they're fake stories, and I'll tell you why. Because they're a necessary piece of the fake puzzle when they're building stories about black budgets. Now, allegedly, there's just no way that that kind of money could go missing. So how about it's just a fake story, which helps feed into the fake black ops technology story. And that's what Richard Hoaxland is saying, that there's a huge black ops budget. They're doing things on the moon, and he wants an investigation. And all that does is confirm in people's minds that NASA does go to the moon or can go to the moon or can fly a rocket into space. But to me, it's just another huge layer of the onion. It's complete BS. I don't doubt that they work on advanced weaponry. I do doubt that they're 50 years advanced to what's going on now. Because why else are we still flying planes, still floating boats, still landing armies on the ground? Because that's what works. That's what we have. So I don't.
Do you mean as far as war goes, or what do you mean?
Yeah, war technology. I think we have planes that go faster, but I just don't think that. I think that's, we've got the best that's out there. I don't think there's any 50-year advanced technology out there. And I think this missing money, these are all just stories to help build the false black ops stories. And he got me thinking about that today. And when you're driving around listening to these audios and you're trying to see through the BS, this is what you might end up doing. You end up thinking about stuff like this. Well, maybe the missing money story is false. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I do. I don't know how we would verify that one way or the other, because it just seemed like a pretty plausible way to pay everybody to keep quiet. Who knows anything, you know?
Right. So that was what he got. He got me thinking about that. The next theme that came up in this audio, and this is, there's quite a few things. I was busy making notes while I'm driving down the highway. The next thing he brought up is he says that in this black ops crowd, they have invented something to neutralize nuclear weapons. I had never heard that before. They have some magic weapon or magic bullet to neutralize nuclear weapons. Yes, stop them in their tracks. Make them ineffective.
Well, you've heard him talk about the different shapes on the poles of different planets, and that had to do. He was talking about this torsion field bullcrap for a while now. I think that they just give him a certain topic that he gets to be the sole proprietor of, and he just never shuts the fuck up.
Well, that's my last point, and let me finish with the nuclear weapon theme. So along with the nuclear weapon neutralizer, they also have this weapon, this magic dust, this magic idea also can stop or reverse or neutralize radiation. which would, of course, be an answer to Fukushima. They could just spray this pixie dust on the alleged melting down nuclear reactor and stop radiation. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, this is new. This is a new story. I love stories, and of course, most psyops are stories. And Richard C. Hoagland is one of the best storytellers when it comes to NASA and the moon. He's been given that portfolio, and wow, that was a good one. These are all things you listen for when you're not buying the BS, the general idea at all, and. There's no indication that anyone has a clue that calls into the show, that listens to the show. It's just the same old stuff all these years later.
Yeah.
Another fantastic meme that he brought up. And you might want to listen to this show, everybody, and just see if I'm right or see if you can hear what I'm hearing. He said that all 12 astronauts that went to the moon have had their memories zapped of the trips. NASA has figured out a way to clear their minds of the trip. So when you ask them questions, they can't answer them because NASA has gone into their brains or done some programming or given them some drug or technology to clear their minds because they were in danger of spilling the beans on the secret goings-ons on the moon.
And he's been saying it for a long time, though. It's not.
I never heard that before. Is that? Have they been saying that before?
Oh well, you know, I kind of got into the 9/11 story right around 2003, and that came basically from listening to whatreallyhappened.com and going through their different links, and then going through David Icke's website. And between the two, I was always on there, and then they had that other one that was. Can't remember what the name of that was, but you know, there's some ones at the top that have a lot of different, you know, news, and they call it news anyway. And I was starting to listen to all the radio I could, and he's been on the radio for a long time. So back in 2005, he was saying the same stuff, torsion field stuff. Astronauts can't tell you because their brains have been hypnotized or whatever. He never is clear on how this goes because he just talks.
Okay,
he doesn't have anything to any kind of verisimilitude that you can go ahead and grasp onto and follow up with because they're all his pictures. It's all his logic and his little statements that, you know what I'm saying, that you can't verify a damn thing he says.
Okay, so you know about this then. Okay, I didn't know. I've been out of it for a while, so this is the first exposure I've had to it in a while.
That's what yeah. I was – I didn't really finish up with my statement there, I guess, how I should have. But like I said, I started listening to a lot of radio, and it came to a certain point where, you know, I just kind of got away from the internet for a couple of years, right up until that September Clues came out. And the Brian Stavely that website came up with the Social Security Death Index information with kind of like gave me an extra talking point that I really needed. And then I got back into radio. What that was until I guess 2007 or 8. So I took a good 2-3 years off and out of there, you know. But he mm-hmm. was still talking about it way back when I first started listening to Coast to Coast.
Hoax to Hoax, I like to call it.
I like that.
All right, so yeah, so then you already brought this up then. The last and most incredible fable spun by Mr. Hoaxland is this torsion field technology, where he was saying they can create matter or energy out of nothing. They just reach up and grab out of this torsion field things or energy. And I said it's better than alchemy. Usually with alchemy, I got to start with something, I think, and then you transmute it into gold or something valuable. But with torsion or this toroid, which by the way, I first heard about this through the Thrive movie with Procter and Gamble guy or Zeitgeist. I don't know which one it was where they said we have this toroid magnetic field around the ball Earth. Of course, they don't say anything.
But he talked about Hoagland has this idea that it's some kind of, I don't know, the easiest way I can explain it is he kind of made it look like it was a, not a, maybe a crystalline structure underneath that, that gives a solid something or other to, like you're talking about, you know, something. I don't believe a thing he says, but, you know, he does. That's what he's kind of he makes in his, if you look at his graphs and his pictures and that type of stuff from his I don't even remember what his website is at the top of my head right now. It was a pretty fanciful name too, but yeah, it was all over there. And he's a very good speaker and writer. Yeah. He's very convincing. I mean, while you're listening, you know, I can listen to anybody, and I, even if I can only grasp, I mean, if I can only like use a certain small percentage, if they at least they're easy to listen to, I can still listen to someone who's absolutely totally wrong, you know, as long as they have a little bit of bits of information that might be usable. But at a certain point, you know, you just got to lay him down and let him do his own thing.
Yeah, Delqua was saying, he calls him Hoagland or Hogwash, was the science advisor to CBS News during the Apollo program from 68 to 71. So he's been at it forever.
Yep, yep.
So you know about that too. Okay. Well, I guess I'm a bit out of it when it comes to that. But yeah, so I listen
to everything,
that.
You know.
No, you can't be up to date with everything. But that that was a real eye opener. I think I listened to the most of that show. And the callers, as usual, they always throw me off. They're into so many ridiculous ideas. I wouldn't be surprised if they're all staged callers as well. Stage their callers. I don't stage my callers, but I bet you these mainstream shows are all staged, the callers. They're all meant to sound.
You listened to Dr. Deagle for a while, didn't you, or no?
No, who's that?
Dr. Deagle. Wow, he's another one of those really fantastic speakers. But, I mean, he pulls out stuff out of a hat. He's even more fictitious, I would like to say, than this Hoagland guy. But he went ahead and does some half-assed, decently work on Oklahoma bombings. And but he's quite a talker. I mean, he's someone to listen to just because of his control of language. He's very... He has a lot of talent at that. Even if most of the shit he says is just bullcrap, he's still talented at giving it to you and feeding it to you.
So he does the Oklahoma City bombing stuff?
He does a lot. NutriMedical.com, I think, is what his website is, something like that.
Okay. Let me go on to my next topic. I'll play a little clip here. Let's see if it's from CNN. Here we go.
At 4:40 p.m., the first call came in. A 13-year-old girl attacked by a shark while swimming at the popular Oak Island Beach in North Carolina.
The left arm is completely missing, and also a bite to the left leg, 13-year-old, weak pulse.
Okay, left arm is completely missing, weak pulse, and what was the other
part? Also a bite to the left leg.
Terrified beachgoers try to help the young victim after she is brought to shore. One onlooker borrows the cell phone from a family member to call 911. The family, too distraught to call themselves.
Do you know, are any of the fingers completely amputated?
It looks like her entire hand is gone.
Okay. If you can-
and her head is gone. I'm ripping this off from the No Agenda Show, which I have been recently enjoying, by the way. NoAgendaShow.com. I'm happy to say I promote it. It's a good show. I don't donate to it, but maybe one day. So I made a post called Shark. Shark! And so I'm ripping this idea off because it was a good one. And I just played a CNN story from this past week about a shark attack. And I'm pretty sure it's fake. And so I made a post on that. And essentially... the No Agenda guys came to the conclusion that, of course, Jaws, the monumental Spielberg schlock from the, was it the 70s?
I think so.
They're re-releasing the movie, and that happened, I believe, yesterday it was re-released. And coincidentally, at the same time, we saw a preponderance of extra shark stories in the news. Specifically at the CIA News Network. including that clip that I just posted. So there you go, how the news works.
To promote movies.
With the media. It's all one industry. So they'll
bring that up. I know that Crow talked about it, and he says that he's been out here in San Diego pretty much his whole entire life, and nothing like that's ever happened, I guess. I mean, this is right off the ocean out here, so I guess there's, you know, like nothing happening with sharks out here, so it doesn't happen anywhere, I suppose, you know. Sharks get hungry, too.
Well, we don't have any sharks where I live in Toronto. Of course, we live on the largest series of freshwater lakes in the world. So there are no sharks here. But that didn't stop the Toronto's and Canada's biggest newspaper from putting a shark story in. And it had to go back to a guy who was 22 at the time. And they republished or recounted with him his shark story way back when, all these years ago. Just so happens, the story comes up again in and around the re-release of Jaws. So the point of this post is just to show the shameless integration between the movie industry, culture creation, and your so-called unbiased media.
No argument there. It's pretty amazing, too. You know, you pointed out, I have to thank you for that. You know, it's the more times that happens, you know, the more, just like these the people who were found, you know, at 9/11 talking on TV and then found it at other different crisis actors. You know, I think that's all part and parcel. I don't know. Where do you think they get their jobs at?
It's all integrated.
Crisisactor.com. I don't know.
The next post, and let me say one more thing. No Agenda Show, I've been listening to it. It's been quite good. And the reason I like that show is I don't have CNN. I don't go to the website. I have no interest in it. But I am interested in someone else watching it, and I do enjoy their analysis, even if they will not go all the way. For whatever reason, whether some people think they're just another psyop, they're controlled by the CIA. I tend not to believe that, but I wouldn't just automatically discount it. I've been following John C. Dvorak since the beginning with the computer column. I've always liked his acid style, and I do like listening to him as well. There's aspects that bug me about the show, but again, I'm sure there's aspects about this show, if anyone listens, that bug people. So nothing's perfect, but I do enjoy that show, and I get a lot of really good stuff. The last one, not today's, but the one Thursday, was great because they had some clips that aren't fakeologist related, but they are culture creation related about a small website or a small YouTube channel called Black History TV. They had just a priceless clip about a story. I don't know if you heard about it. I didn't hear about it until they brought it up.
I don't know how to listen to John C. Dvorak. I used to back when I listened to him a bit because I think they had him on that computer. They had a really, I thought it was kind of good with Leo Laporte with his it's early computer show on TV, and I think they had him on every once in a while somehow.
Yeah. Well, John has been in computers forever. I've never seen him on other shows, actually. I know he does do other tech shows. I haven't actually tuned into them. Which is kind of annoying because they do reference it on the No Agenda show, but they never give a link. They never directly explain, well, where can I see John on his tech show? Because I actually might watch that or listen to it. But they're kind of dumb that way, how they gloss over it. They talk about it, but then they don't tell people how to get to it. He does that a lot, which annoys me. But they were talking about a story about a woman who was allegedly white that became the president of the NAACP in Spokane. And that brought up a lot of great clips. One of them was from a YouTube channel where a guy was interviewing black people on the street, I think in New York, and trying to provoke them. And it just spoke to the constant provocation of the white versus black in the United States. This is not a concept that we're familiar with in Canada at all. It just doesn't happen here in the same way. Not in the same big way, maybe on a small scale, but it doesn't happen here. But it does obviously in the United States, and they push. It's so annoying. But this black guy who was doing the interview for Black History TV, he was being very provocative, and I was really happy to see that almost none of the people were taking the race bait. They were just saying, listen, she can do what she wants to do. Okay, she's white, she's pretending to be black. They called her a culture vulture, made all kinds of really neat references I never heard about. But people in general do not take the bait. They don't buy into the overall race war. It just doesn't exist to them. Does it happen in San Diego?
Well, it was mostly... I mean, there's different parts of California out here, just like, you know, if you live in any city, I'm sure you got certain places you probably don't want to go, and you got, you know what I'm saying, you got other places that are a bit nicer. Out here, a lot of the racism comes from people coming up and being Spanish, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of separation going on just from language alone, not being able to talk to you're not in the cool group because you can't talk Spanish type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So they're sitting around talking, you don't even know what the hell they're saying. So
yeah,
it's, I don't hear so much of the racism thing out here in California. It's like, Americans are more disliked out here. And so, I mean, you can be black or white and still be American, obviously. So, you know, it's, the separation is just another tier, and it's kind of hard to figure out and confusing, you know, I don't know.
And the next post is the Pope says carpool. This is on fakeologist.com. This is yet another No Agenda show. Actually, it's the same No Agenda show. They had a lot of good stuff on that show, and one of them was how the Pope is actually getting directly involved in promoting the global warming, climate change, climate cooling, climate heating, global scam. He's releasing an ecclesiastical, or whatever his second most powerful word is, and it's really amazing how this Jesuit Pope, I don't know exactly what that means other than the fact that he identifies himself as a Jesuit, and that means maybe he's more active in culture or deception, but he is busy promoting climate change. It's unbelievable. He's really turned into quite the activist Pope.
Well, that's all about the carbon tax, under my understanding. So, you know, they stand to make a hell of a lot of money every year, forever.
Yeah, it's literally taxing air.
Yeah.
If you ever heard the joke, what's next? They're going to tax air? Well, it's not a joke anymore.
Well, to my understanding, from what I read, they used to tax the air in Ireland. And that's why all the people there, the old houses have very small windows. You'd be taxed more.
I know, I'd have to ask Delcroix about that.
See if he agrees, because I can't verify it, but that's what I have heard other people talking about.
Okay, that's funny. And they also and on, also that, on that, I'm echoing a bit there, Max Blue.
Two, is two, that one, two. Better? Is that
yeah.
better or no?
No. Yeah, I'm still...
Okay, let me move this, because I did move the damn thing.
So yeah, you moved, and then you got me echoing there. No echo.
Is that better?
That's better. 2212. Okay. All right, and One more thing on that No Agenda show. They did talk a little bit about the South Carolina shooting, which I'm not going to get into. I'm not too interested in it. But once more, Adam and John, get close to calling it a hoax, which is pretty interesting. I don't know how much longer it's going to take before they start calling these things hoaxes, but they're getting close.
Well, it seems like they're probably going to pick and choose like Fetzer does, what he wants to call hoax and what he wants to say is 75% truth, or just what he says about it is the truth. Or, you know, I don't know if that's how these guys are. I've listened to, I think, I may have subscribed to him, but I think I only listened to one of their two shows. One or two shows, from your website.
Are you still listening to Fetzer, by the way?
No.
No. He's sort of transition to some sort of television YouTube thing. I'm not really paying attention anymore either.
He's on my Facebook, so every once in a while he likes to bring up the ISIS thing, and you know, he calls that a hoax and made by CIA, but he seems like he's very careful when he wants to call something, you know what I'm saying, absolutely fabricated or not.
Mm-hmm. So you still have a pretty good list of things you're listening to these days.
Well, you know, I have been listening to that The Higher Side chat when somebody I want to listen to on, just because at work, you know, I can go ahead and just put on something and put the earphone in and just do my thing and have a radio show going on in the background for a couple hours or, you know, or an hour, you know, and that's kind of nice, especially if I like the topic, you know.
So your current show you're listening to is The Fireside Chat, and you've listened to Crow on there?
Yeah, I do. I have to find, you know, I have to say I appreciate the guy. You know, he seems like he's doing as good as he can to bring the best he knows out, you know, and he doesn't seem like he has any kind of ulterior motive. He's as careful as a man can be to be as honest and forthwith as he knows how to be about the subject.
Yeah. And as a fakeologist type person, you're always looking for some kind of deception.
Well, you know, do you remember exactly? And that's in. Do you remember like before 2012? You know, where they had quite a few different specials and different videos you could watch on you know what's going to happen on 2012 and 20. And there's a couple people that really had me stymied there for a minute. So, you know, I think that you get better, and I don't think I'm as good as you are, because it seems like you sure bring out some really good information that, you know, leads me to want to learn more and listen more about different subjects. But it also makes you just want to say everything's a freaking hoax, you know? So I don't like to go there and just say everything's a hoax, but I sure understand how if 90% of it seems to be just made up bullcrap, then you almost can just say, you know, most things are just fabricated nonsense that they get people to believe because they're not looking to find the truth of a matter. They'll take a little tidbit, that's all they need, and they move on and turn on Big Bang Theory, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So you'd recommend The Higher Side Chats then as a podcast, or just when there's a guy that you're familiar with?
I haven't listened to too many shows, only probably two or three other than when Crow's on there, because a lot of their topics about aliens and a lot of their stuff just seems, you know, I mean, it doesn't give me anything, you know. And when you got people talking about Hollow Earth, and I don't, you know, I just don't know about that stuff yet, you know, because when you do believe in planet theory, you know, you can be really open to a lot of the different things people talk about, you know.
Sure.
And but if you aren't buying that story anymore, you can really throw a lot of the stuff people talk about and are used to talking about for, I mean, years and years and years, you can just throw it right out and say, well, they wasted a lot of my time, move on.
Yeah. Well, I haven't talked to you about this latest wave of flat earth. I know Rolo is in the chat, he doesn't want to talk about it, but maybe we'll just close out with a little discussion on that, because you are listening to Crow and you did agree to come on the broadcast tonight, which I appreciate. It's nice to bounce off my ideas off somebody. So what do you have? Are you formulating an opinion now of the ball earth that we're supposed to be on? Do you have
well, just before I Crow does not believe in a flat Earth,
okay.
and he says he doesn't know. You know what I'm saying? He says the official story is he doesn't buy into the official story of what they've told us all since, you know what I'm saying, we were young people and forever, you know, about what's out there. But he's very careful not to say that he does know. I think Eric Dubé's and, of course, Mark Sargent, but, you know, I really have to say I appreciate that, Eric Dubé, and I'm more entertained by Mark Sargent.
Yes, you know? I've listened to both. I don't know. I can't make a determination with my fakeologist glasses or view. I don't know what their agenda is. I know for sure I don't buy into most of Mark Sargent's enclosed earth stuff. It doesn't make sense to me at all. I am on board only to the... Actually, I thought Crow's views of NASA were more interesting than his YouTube on the moon. I'm not too interested in the moon and his refresh theory at all, but I thought his in general views on NASA were really good. And actually, now that you mentioned it, they are pretty much in line with my views that we know NASA lies. We've established that. It's very clear. So therefore, we're tossing out everything they have to promote about the Earth, including the Blue Marvel theory. So I've really enjoyed his when he gets off talking about his when he switches from his videos to his in general theories. I actually agree he's good to talk to. And as a note, by the way, I remember Higher Side Chat, Greg was saying that he hired Crow to write columns for his website, his pay site, by the way. So there's a little connection there now.
What's the guy's name that he likes to quote a lot? I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the Russian talker, Patty Bov or something. I don't know. And he likes to use him as some kind of reference that I haven't been able to find anything in his stuff yet, you know, but I don't know. I think that we're going to figure out this. I mean, it's going to be totally more likely or less likely very soon. And right now, spinning planet theory just doesn't seem to hold any water right now, you know, and the way Eric Dubé talks about, gravity being just, basically atmospheric pressure, and if you weigh, you know, if you are denser than air, you're going to be at this area, and if you're denser than water, you're going to be at the bottom of that water. So I don't know if that really, you know what I'm saying, explains away the whole gravity issue, but I think it's getting us closer.
Yeah, do you think that the war, or the fact that Eric Dubé, well, he won't talk to me, I asked him, and I think it has something to do with the fact he doesn't like the way I embrace Mark right away, which was more of a coincidence, as I've explained earlier. But do you think that their Eric Dubé fighting with everyone is manufactured or real?
I see. If you look at his the specifics of his argument, Eric makes good sense. You know what I'm saying? And what he doesn't like is Mark's, it's in my opinion, what he doesn't like is that he doesn't appreciate Mark Sargent seeming to come out of nowhere and acting like he should be the forefront of anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When Eric has not only written a book, but, you know, he's been with this theory for a long time now. So I think he really likes to feel that he's the modern grandfather of the idea and doesn't appreciate some of the what might be called minor nuances that Mark Sargent brings up. Because, you know, if we're all into fakeology, you and I, then we shouldn't be bitching about dotting the I's on every single sentence. You know what I'm saying, right? But that's Eric Dubé really doesn't appreciate some of the things that that Mark says. I think that'd be nice to have them together, though, to have a nice all-out conversation, get them both on the same chat, and I think it'd be pretty cool to listen to them both talk. I hope it happens sometime.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That would be interesting. So what's Max Blue's opinion? Do you have any opinion on what we're sitting on right now?
Is it a puddle or is it a ball?
That's right.
Well, I don't buy the ball Earth theory, and NASA's the only one that brings up all these planets that they say that are all out there that only they are taking real pictures of, and I just don't see any proof that it's a ball. If I saw some proof, I would like it more, you know, but I don't see any. And even if Mark Sargent and Eric Dubay turn out, we have to tweak what they say and something else winds up being the truth. I don't know what else could be the truth, but let's just say, you know, how certain things pop up you don't expect. I still have to remain open and listen to everything I can these days. And that's what I do. You know, I try to listen to all their words, and I listen to a lot of the stuff that they say more than once, because, you know, I have to, you know, I don't always grasp everything someone says. And sometimes it's just that one sentence that I wish I would have heard the first time around that would have, you know, I'm saying, well, if I would have heard that the first time, I wouldn't listen to the rest of this stuff. And I'm not trying to say that they are not being as accurate as they know how to be. I'm just saying, in general, I have to personally listen to things more than once to really soak them for the information that I can hold on to.
Agreed. Well, you're open-minded like I am, and don't forget, our minds may be open, but not so far open that our brains fall out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to say. Well, I'm going to close out tonight. It's been a couple hours. I've enjoyed it. That's enough for most listenership if they've hung in this long. I want to remind people that I have started something a little different, and it's called Fakeologist Conference Call. And it's not live, and it's not broadcast live, but I did find a Fakeologist Conference Call, which is available at fakeologist.com/CC. And you can go there and connect with me many afternoons. And that requires just a telephone. Apparently a few people couldn't get the audio chat going with TeamSpeak. And even though TeamSpeak sounds better because it's all digital, a lot of people can't get it going, which is fine. And one of those people that couldn't get it going was John Adams, who does the afternoon commute with Chris Kendall on hoaxbusterscall.com. And John and I wanted John on this official broadcast, the FAK Fakeologist radio broadcast, but we can never connect on the weekend because he's too busy, as I am often. Therefore, we decided to convene on a conference call, and we have posted a few of them. They are under the audio chat section, since they're more of a just an audio chat. We're both at work, and we're both just not paying complete attention because we get distracted going into stores and whatnot. But people can go to audiochat.fakeologist.com, and there is a feed for that as well to bring into your podcatcher. And we do have a little conference call. So if you're listening now and you want to participate during the weekday when I'm away from the studio, Fakeologist Radio World Headquarters Studios, I have been doing conference calls in the 4 o'clock hour Eastern time. And all you need is a telephone. And to join in, just go to fakeologist.com/CC. And you can join in. Usually it's just John and I. Well, it's only been John and I. Just going back and forth on a few things. John has things he likes to talk about that I know a little bit about. Sometimes I bring up my points and he talks about. I think they've been enjoyable. And
worth checking out, huh? I will do that.
It's worth checking out. I do post them on the main site, fakeologist.com. But because I do a lot of posts, a lot of them get subjugated down and out, and people don't scroll down typically. So definitely go to audiochat.fakeologist.com and click on the link. Let me just do it now to make sure it works. Audio Chat Archives. Click on that. and you will see the different programs from the Fakeologist conference call. We have about four of them. I call it FCC, and I usually put some title sometimes. Afternoon Commute with John Adams. Chris is away, John and I have been talking, and it's been interesting. John is really a smart guy and has a ton of stuff to talk about. And join in if you would like. All you need is a phone. Everyone has a phone, I'm pretty sure, in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Although the cell phones are not as good as landlines, for sure. And they're much harder to hear. But
What are you doing with this Pirate Bay browser? Is your favorite? Or what were you saying with the torrents? What do you like to use?
No, I don't use the Pirate Bay browser. I just use uTorrent for torrenting. Just a simple program. That's all I use.
The torrent is the one that downloads. Where do you go to get your selection?
Lately I go to Kickass Torrents. They're under attack all the time now, and I think for Stern I go to limetorrents.cc. Limetorrents.cc.
I see.
They're under constant attack. They're always going up and down. Movie industry is going nuts right now.
There's also a mobile browser, I think. I don't know if that's a .net, but mobile browser is basically what they did. They kicked me off anyway. I think they kicked a lot of people off of the Pirate Bay browser, so it's only being able to be used, I think, for the for home computers. And I was downloading a lot of nice, cool, kick-ass stuff, movies and everything. You know, everything, because I really like to collect books personally. I really want to have a whole library, and I've done really good. So I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, and I've been able to just do smart, you know, just real vague searches, search for encyclopedia and search for Atlas, you know, just simple words, and it brings up a whole lot of stuff rather than, and it takes up no space in the house, you know, so I don't have to have a big set of encyclopedias at the house that I don't want to have, you know.
Understood. Okay, well, I'll look into that. All right, well, thanks, Max. Appreciate you joining me. Appreciate everyone listening.
Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, I'm going to retire now. It's been a long day. And again, thanks for joining me. And thanks, everyone, for joining in. And I don't have anything exciting to play out, so we'll use our normal Supertramp song. It's called Crime of the Century. It is their best album, I'm sure. Most people would agree. And God knows what they were talking about. What was the crime of the century they were alluding to? I don't ever remember anyone talking about that. Could it have been predictive programming? Could they have been anticipating the crime of the next century, which would have been 9/11, no doubt? It's anyone's guess. All right, thanks everybody, and have a good night.
Now they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what will it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring.
Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio. We do this show most Saturday nights. We stream our show 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. Our backup site is fakeologist.wordpress.com. We're dedicated to exploring the world of media fakery. Since you're aware, point others to our website and let them discover a reality that they probably never knew existed.
But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me.